Welcome to Earth's Mightiest Weirdos. A few familiar faces along the bottom. Anthony, how are you doing this evening?
What's going on, Brian? Let's have some fun.
I'm excited. Sarah, how are you?
I am doing great. Ready to talk cosplay and Moon Knight.
Awesome. Well, speaking of cosplay, we have one of the world's foremost authorities on cosplay. We have Frank from Frankly Built. How are you tonight, Frank?
Hi, I'm good. And wow, thanks for that intro.
Okay. Well, we see a little bit of your handiwork in the back, and we'd love to get a little bit further into it. Let's do a little bit of a roundup in the comments. We've got some names that we've never seen before. I'm assuming Frank is very familiar with some of those names. Ryan is here. We've got multiple people, Maya, Matt, Alex. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. We are very happy to be able to talk cosplay, to be able to talk to Frank. So let's not spend a lot of extra time. Anthony, I'm going to toss it to you. Let's talk to Frank and see what we can learn about 3D printing and cosplay.
All right, Frank, first thing, shouldn't be much of a surprise. I'm sure you get this question all the time. What made you get into it, and how long have you been doing it?
Whoa, cosplay. I thought this was to pitch my clothing brand. Oh, no. So I've always kind of wanted to get into it a little bit. I think anybody who's been like a fan of Marvel in any sense has been like, yeah, it'd be cool to have like an Iron Man suit. It'd be cool to have some type of superhero costume, right? But after Avengers Endgame, it was like I finally got to see Tony Stark's final suit, and that was like the catalyst. It was like, all right, I'm an adult, I have adult money, I have an adult job. let's do this. Like, it'd be so cool to go to a convention, like, and like I saw how happy it made people just taking pictures of cosplayers and all of this, and I don't know, a little bit on the selfish side, I wanted an Iron Man suit. So is
Iron Man your number one guy? Is Tony Stark your favorite MCU character?
Yes and no. I do have to give it a little bit to Steve Rogers, Captain America, especially Chris Evans' portrayal in the MCU. Pretty different than the comics. Definitely not as righteous, you know, especially during like the comic Civil War run. Oof. Tony, his whole arc, the entire Infinity Saga was really kind of just about his growth. And it seems like Kevin Feige really saw where he wanted to go at the end. He kind of, I feel like, always knew like Tony's going to be it, and all that growth and buildup I thought was just great.
What's your favorite MCU film?
Winter Soldier is up there. Just because of the action, the little bit of spy, just that whole plot. Civil War is also incredible because it's very, I think, very hard to do a versus film, like, you know, Batman versus Superman, almost, you know, like, but then if you watch like Godzilla versus Kong, it's literally Batman versus Superman, and then Mechagodzilla's Apocalypse. Go watch it again. You'll be like, oh, my God.
I didn't hear the word Martha in that film.
Are you sure? Right before Godzilla decides he might kill Kong, he kind of grunts and walks away. That was the Martha moment. Okay. Where in Civil War, Steve took out Tony's suit. He knew everything he needed to do to stop Iron Man, and he followed through. Like, I will stop you, and he did. He didn't have to kill him, but he beat Iron Man, you know? So there was a very clear winner there. And, as far as just geeking out, I mean, Infinity War / Endgame.
Yeah.
Has there been anything better? It's incredible.
Yeah, no, I mean, all absolutely great choices. Like, Winter Soldier is a darn near perfect film.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
The opening is just
biscuits. One more question specific to the MCU. You're obviously a fan of the MCU. What is still...
Never heard of her.
Still coming that you just cannot wait for? Is it Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness because it's next, or is it something further into the future?
Armor Wars.
Yes, good choice. Mm.
Armor Wars.
Now we'll have some fun with that one.
We're trying to convince. I'm imagining we'll probably get into some of the premieres, the movie premieres. We're trying to see if we can bring me and the Iron Man group. If we can bring all of our suits to the Armor Wars Hollywood premiere and like that'll be so much fun.
That'd be awesome.
We'll see. Yeah.
You're talking about the Iron Man group. It's the Iron Idiots. We've got them
on the screen. Yes.
Why don't you tell us about them?
They are a bunch of idiots, and I love them, and they are my best friends. They are great people. On the far left, that was Danny CTK Creations. Then you have Emily the Engineer, Kiara's Workshop, and then me. And we just all kind of met each other one way or another. Everything gets trickled down all the way to the Iron Man builders. You have cosplay, then you have 3D printing cosplay, then you have the Iron Man cosplayers, and it gets smaller and smaller. So you just end up knowing everybody one way or another, and we all just really clicked with each other. We loved hanging out, and then we finally got to meet up with our suits in at Silicon with Adam Savage, and that was the first time all four of us had suited up, and it was so much fun. And we have a lot of the same. We're on the same wavelength for a lot of things. So
I know your suit is all 3D printed. Are all three of theirs also all 3D printed?
In that photo, no. Only mine and Emily's are 3D printed. My Mark 85 and her Mark 17 Heartbreaker. And then Kiara, the one in front of the Idiots logo with the thumb up. Hers is foam, actually. That's a foam Mark 46. It was one of her original suits, and it held up beautifully. And then Danny's all the way to the left. That's actually a fiberglass resin statue. It was a statue kit you buy, and you make a statue of Iron Man in your background. It was hollowed out and converted to be a suit. It is a tank, and that suit probably weighs more than all three of our suits combined. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's ridiculous. His mobility is
limited.
Rough. Yeah, it's
How comfortable are those suits, or not?
You make them as comfortable as possible. You put lots of padding in the shoes because you're standing. You try to stop it's called armor pinch. It's where like the joints, if I had my arm here, where you bend your arm, the plastic would pinch your skin. I have scars all from armor pinch, and you try to mitigate it. You wear layers. I just recently discovered that the athletic compression knee braces that you like athletes wear, mm-hmm. those are amazing for avoiding it on your knees. I actually I wear two pairs of them on each knee, and I had no problems with my knees like pinching or being painful. So you mitigate it as much as possible. There's weight on your shoulders. You're kind of always kind of flexing and posing because you want your shoulders to be up. It's this every 5 seconds, so your arms get tired. But they're not uncomfortable, not really, because why would you want to wear it if it was uncomfortable, right? You know?
Right. I tuned into your live last night where you were showing off your, your front plate that goes just below your waist, and it kept cracking on you because it would get caught on your thigh, and you just got to think on the fly, and you use elastic.
That was it.
Together, right? Like,
just
thinking on
the fly. It's the definition of insanity, right? It broke once. Okay, cool. I fixed it. It broke again in a different spot, So it's like, all right, that's not working. I need a way to let this flex. I need a way to let this move so it doesn't break. And it worked. Got me through another 7 hours in the suit.
Maya has a question. Says, do you do all your 3D modeling in CAD? Is that what you use for that program?
Maya, I don't know how to 3D model. And I don't hide that from anybody. I can't say I have zero idea. I can manipulate. I can get around a 3D program. I understand Mesh Mixer. I understand CAD. I understand Tinkercad. I don't 3D model this stuff. And that's what I think is the coolest thing about this hobby and its evolution. And there is a very small percentage who kind of look down on that and go away.
any of that percentage tonight.
Yeah.
It's gatekeeping. There's no room for it. There are people, beautiful, talented 3D modelers who love modeling this stuff, who design helmets, they like designing the props, but they A, don't have 3D printers, or B, they don't want to 3D print it. They want to model it. So they leave it up to other people to 3D print them. Few things bring me more joy than printing a helmet and sending the picture of it really nice and printed to the 3D modeler. I have never once had a 3D modeler not be ecstatic. They're like, you just took what I made and brought it to life. Because as far as they took, it was just a digitized bit 3D model. It didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So taking it to that next level and showing them, they love it. They are so happy to see people make their stuff, and they would never consider it cheating or cutting corners. If somebody's already willing to design this suit, why would I go and try to also design it when they did it better And then I can put more time into making it, you know, the paint, the fitting, that I can spend more time in those other steps.
Spoken as a man married to a woman who makes money off of creating things for other people to print on their Cricut, I completely understand that.
There you go.
So that makes a ton of sense. We have a question in the comments saying, how long did it take you to put that entire armor or Iron Man suit together?
You are asking that question as if it's finished. It's never finished. It's like a car. It's never done. But it took about a year and a half for me to be like, all right, it's all printed, painted. I can wear it. Now I hate it. Time to redo it. And that's this newest rendition. It's the new paint. It fits me a lot better now. I upgraded the lights. I did the battle weathering and damage recently to make it a little less stressful, I guess. I don't have to care about it as much anymore. I can wear it to its fullest.
You
know, I don't
have to baby it. Now you ding it up. And
yeah, it's like
part of its character.
Exactly. And there's a lot of it's unavoidable, especially packing it into the suitcases, carrying it. It breaks. You have to weld it and fix it. And the paint is too particular on it to, I can't just touch up a small spot. I'd have to strip off that entire color panel and then redo it. And it's just a headache. And I don't know. Making the paint so clean and pretty was like controlling for like a year. I wanted it to be perfect. So then getting to go in battle damage, it was almost therapeutic. It's like, yeah, take that. I don't have to care anymore.
Like a guy at homecoming taking care of a car when the other football team comes in. Anthony, questions?
Yeah. So my question was going to be, what's next and why is it the God of War Blades of Chaos? But I saw you already made those. So I will give you my address to send those afterwards.
There they are.
What's next for you? I know you said Mandalorian, but do you have something, you know, smaller scale in mind you're looking to start on?
If I told you I had 30 projects in work right now, that probably wouldn't even be close to an exaggeration. I have a lot of things on the back burner. Printed that helmet, printed this sword. It's kind of figuring out the time to finish it. The next real big projects is finishing my Green Goblin helmet. The eyes, getting the lenses of the eyes are really, I'm trying to figure out a way to do it the easiest so other people can do it. Cause I can go and buy the $60 lenses off of AliExpress or Etsy. I don't want to do that. I want to see if I can figure out a way to do it that looks good, that other people could replicate. I need to finish this suit, this other suit behind me. It's become a meme. Starboost. I have a third and fourth suit in work actually, that I can't tell anybody about because there's NDAs involved.
Ooh.
Yes. Ooh. Yeah. So that's exciting. That's big. Nice.
That is like the most official thing that has ever been said on this show, and we.
I can't say because they will sue me.
So you've got all these projects in mind. So I know before you jumped in, Sarah and I had both said, I know Brian's wife, Kristen, we've all thought about getting into 3D printing. And I've watched some of your videos, you know, like the Creality Ender 3, you know, as a starter printer to get into. If, you know, how, I know you haven't mastered it yet, but how long would it take for somebody to go from zero knowledge to be able to comfortably make things without getting frustrated and wanting to throw up?
I'd say the average Joe, from what I've seen in the community, 6 months to a year. 2 or 3 months are going to be, you're going to be printing small stuff. You're going to be having fun. You're going to be printing little Totoro figures and things you find on Thingiverse. You're going to run into some problems. You're going to have failures. But pushing through that's one of the big reasons I recommend the Ender 3 as opposed to just buying like $1,000 printer that just works out of box, because it's going to teach you so much more about the machines and the hobby. Mm-hmm. And you're going to start to peel back the layers and be like, oh, this is a lot simpler than I thought it was, because as long as I make sure this one thing is right, most of the time it's going to work, and you start to build a better understanding. And a 3D printer isn't it's not an appliance. It's not a microwave. It's not a power drill. It's not something you just get and it works. It's a tool, and you need to understand how to use that tool. It's just something else in your arsenal. So I think after a few months of running into some problems, you can start to comfortably print stuff in multiple pieces and build stuff, put it together, and then start painting stuff and start adding electronics. And within a year or less, I think you can be like making some really cool stuff.
Probably not an Iron Man suit, but
yeah. That was what I jumped in with. I mean, I don't know.
How much would you say the initial investment might, like, as far as what we could expect if we wanted to get into it?
$200.
Oh, for the filament and like the printer and all that?
An Ender 3, you'll get it from anywhere between $150 to $180, and then you get one roll of filament, and for half of the price of a PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, you have a 3D printer. You know, people spend more on that on games every month.
Can you 3D print a PS5 since no one else can find it?
That they actually sell, they're not a sell. You can actually buy the 3D model of the PlayStation 5 case on Thingiverse and print one full size. it wouldn't work, but I mean, you could probably sell it to some poor sap. do not recommend.
But put it in the background and make it look cool that I've got a PS5.
You sold a 3D printed PlayStation to the blind kid?
it was a box of rocks. Like, dang it.
So we do have. So here's another picture of that battle damaged Mark 85, which is absolutely gorgeous. Is that Captain America shield behind it? Is that Endgame Captain America shield, or is that Age of Ultron Tony's vision broken Captain America shield, or just
kind of? That is the Endgame Captain America shield. The one in Tony's vision, if you look at it, it's actually broken a lot more.
Yeah,
it's like shattered. But that shield that's in the picture was my third broken shield I've done, and that was like my penultimate one. And I battle damaged it, but I still haven't weathered it. You can actually see that there's no grime on it. Mm-hmm. All the damage you see on it is me literally throwing it across my garage floor. It's the best. I will stand by it. It's the best way to do battle damage weathering. Actually do it. Like, I held the shield and I put it into the ground so the bottom got scratched up. And all right, there's gonna be bullet holes here because they're gonna be aiming for his head, and this is where Thanos cut. And so, like, damage it, like damage the paint. Because if you try to fake it, you can tell the lines aren't straight, and attack it.
The neighbors are watching you. Well, Frank's out fighting his garage floor. He's
just slamming it. Speaking of that picture, I'll give you guys a little peek. This was shot and edited by Benjamin Farron, and this is just, I showed it in the stream last night, but that, like, you can see some of the grime and dirt on the suit, and this picture made me so much happier I did that battle damage.
That looks straight out of Civil War in the Siberia bunker. Like,
oh, it. Oh. He just sent me
Con this last weekend.
Yep, he just got me all the. He took a lot of raw cinema 4K footage with a anamorphic lens, and it looks like a movie. It looks like a Michael Bay movie. So he just got me all that raw footage. I just started doing color correction on it. And I'm so excited. Really cool.
Gorgeous. So I'm going to pull up another picture that you have shared. The question that most people are going to ask, which I will ask you, is how can you see out of that? But I want to go a little bit deeper. And how much did you freak out when we officially found out Charlie Cox is back in the MCU?
I was very happy. Daredevil, anybody who can watch, and I'll make the dig right here and then let you guys deal with the fallout. Anybody who can watch the DC shows, the TV shows, and even say they hold a candle to even the worst MCU, like Netflix MCU show. What? You're blinder than Daredevil. Daredevil set, that was it. It was like, finally, look, this is a good superhero show. Like, this is awesome. And then the Punisher came in and kicked that door down again. Like, here's two of them, you know?
This is a Marvel show, so we're not going to have too much. Too much blowback on that.
We agree.
Yeah, you're exactly. Yeah. Now, to be fair, I have heard Arrow in the beginning was pretty good, and Flash had its moments, but like, I've seen clips from Supergirl, and it looks like a cosplay fan film.
Yeah.
It does not look good.
Sarah's first love was DC, so I think Sarah's.
I loved Smallville. Okay.
See, that's like, yeah, and I hear actually Lois and Clark, the new Lois and Clark show with Tyler Hutchinson isn't like that bad. Like,
I've heard that too. Yeah,
I still can't do it.
Lois and Clark will just always be that show that was on USA Network in syndication.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about too. Cool. when he showed up, I felt so bad. Did you guys see the tweet by Charlie Cox? He was like, I didn't get the reaction at the theater that I wanted. Like, everyone was just like, oh, my theater went nuts.
Yes.
Like, my theater freaked out when he was sitting in that room and he starts just sitting there talking to Peter. We're like,
yep.
Because by then, everybody knew Toby and Andrew were in it. Like, it was just a matter of time. Like, when are they going to show up?
Right.
So, Charlie Cox got the same reaction that Toby and Andrew got. You know, it was still just like, he didn't even need to suit up.
So
exactly.
Jumping off of that, you are clearly a fan of the Daredevil series. What did you think of Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin in Hawkeye specifically? Are you a little bit bummed by it?
No, I thought they peppered him in perfectly. They were like, they alluded to him a little bit, and then Clint's name dropping him right at the end of episode 4 or 5. Like, that's what I've been worried about. Like, perfect introduction for like this character that we were kind of like, is it Kingpin? And as a lot of people have said, including Charlie Cox, and nobody could have been cast better for that. He owned, just like Charlie Cox did, just like Robert Downey Jr. did, just like Oscar Isaac is now doing. He owns that part. That's it. You can't recast that.
How many Kingpin cans have you printed?
Zero. Because we don't know if he's alive. But if you read the comics,
He's alive.
Yeah, he's alive. He's down a few eyes, but he's alive.
You bring up the reason, not the reason. There's multiple reasons we wanted to have you on this show, but one of them is to discuss Moon Knight. This helmet is amazing, and there is the Mr. Knight right there. You literally just punched it out, correct?
Just cut it, punched it out, and this was so much fun. It was a quick thing for Sunday at Comic-Con, and it was fun. Literally grabbed it off my printer, put it in my suitcase, and left for LA, like, that morning. I started 4 prints of these at the same time because I'm like, I just need one of them to survive. And 2 of them did fail, and I was able to get 2 good ones off. So I brought one of them with me.
And that's just the filament, right? Like, that's not even.
Actually, in the bottom corner, you can actually see another Moon Knight helmet right behind my name right there. That's the second one that survived that I left. And nice. This is just pearl white filament. You can see some of the lines on it, but disappointed.
So I lied. I have gotten into some 3D printing myself. I tried. This is the first thing I've done. Moon Knight.
The people.
Right there. Now, I know it looks like a paper plate with construction paper taped to it.
No, not at all. you're good.
But I'm working on it. I'm trying.
That's fine. No, you're good.
I haven't gotten the sanding down yet because apparently it's hours and hours of sanding.
Do we have... Brian, do we have time to ask him about the premiere?
I hope so. I would say we would love to ask you about the premiere, Frank, if you still got time before we talk about Oscar Isaac.
Yes.
What premiere? I don't know. Sure. Yeah. That premiere.
That one.
Wait. Where is it?
I want to know what it's like. Oh my gosh. I've always wanted to go.
He's gonna bring over his hat.
He signed it?
Yeah, of course he signed it. That was after he signed it. And I'm just like, this is awesome. Yeah, he signed it.
You can see the signature on the helmet now.
Yeah, I was trying to get Oscar Isaac to sign it, but I don't know if you saw the little kid there in the Moon Knight cosplay, Logan Dominic. I run into him and his dad everywhere. Yeah,
top
this kid.
Corner,
yes.
Top right.
That's him. So he was there, and when Oscar saw him, he went right by everyone. He was just like, beelined it, walked right. Yeah. And you can see me in the background of one of the video of him coming up to Oscar. I'm leaning over the thing with my helmet just like, I was upset. I'm like, I really, but you know, that's fine. It's Logan. He's adorable. That's fine. And then Kevin Feige came around, so I'm like, close second. We can close to that. Close second. Yeah.
Well, while we're on the topic, I'm gonna plug it now. Logan is trying to get to MegaCon in Orlando. Logan was at the premiere as well. You probably saw him on the Marvel feed, all that kind of stuff. Logan is actually, there is no World According to Jax tonight. Frank, for you probably don't know, my 10-year-old son Jax comes on every week, talks about what he's liked about the show. He's actually going to sit down with me to interview Logan, and he's going to be on Earth's Mightiest Weirdos next Monday. We're trying to get Logan to MegaCon in Orlando. Frank, you are coming to MegaCon. Is that what I heard?
I am, and I might have to his dad up then, because I might be able to get him tickets. At least alleviate that.
So Logan, if you go to his Instagram, Logan Dominic Cosplay, they've started a GoFundMe to try to get Logan to MegaCon in Orlando in May. You can see the picture in the top left corner of Logan with Oscar Isaac that Frank was just talking about. That green goblin one, man,
with the hoverboard and everything.
He's got
the green goblin thing was incredible.
It's yeah, really incredible cosplay. So there's the GoFundMe Frank has on the screen right now. So you can find that on Logan Dominic Cosplay. And like I said, next week on First Midas, where goes Logan being interviewed by the man himself, Jax. We're very, very excited about that. So
they did, his dad did want us to tell you that he said hi.
And last, though, just one more question about the premiere, and then we'll talk about the show itself. Go ahead, Sarah.
So was this your first Moon Knight premiere? Or I'm sorry, was this your first Marvel premiere?
This was my second. The first one was Eternals. That was the first one I was fortunate enough to go to. That's where I got Kevin Feige to sign my Infinity Gauntlet. I was very happy about that. It's a cool experience. But if I'm being honest, the Moon Knight one was more fun because it wasn't live streamed. The Eternals one was live streamed on YouTube and Marvel.com or whatever. So there was a lot more production to it, a lot more, you know, hey, do this, and all right, everyone cheer. And the Moon Knight one wasn't live streamed, and there was a DJ there just playing music, so it was a lot more relaxed vibe, and everyone was just hanging out, and it was fun. Yeah, you get to just kind of stand there, almost like a bullpen kind of area for all the cosplayers, but you're with all your friends, and then a lot of the celebrities start to walk by, and they, you know, take pictures, and then you get to go into the theater, snacks, refreshments, drinks, candy, all that, and you sit in the theater, and you get to Eternals. We got to watch the whole movie, and then Moon Knight, we got to see the first and second episodes.
Oh, Frank, so cool. I do have to ask, because we have the world's most resident Eternals fan down there in the corner in Sarah. It's like legit one of her favorite films ever. Yes. What did you think of Eternals? What do you think of where the MCU is headed?
I liked Eternals. I genuinely liked it. They had to do so much. Mm-hmm. Could they have spread it out into two or three movies? Yeah, maybe. Maybe they could have left the emergence as the cliffhanger for the first one and spread it out. But they had to make you care about 10 plus characters, introduce mm-hmm. a plot, world build, universe build, and still add some type of twist. So they did a lot in 2-ish hours, and I thought it was great. I think they cast everybody really down here perfectly.
All right, Brian, you're out. You're the odd man out right now.
No, I like it. I just wouldn't use the word love. I think that that's fair. One last question, then we'll talk about Moon Knight. Does Kevin Feige smell as good as I imagine Kevin Feige smells?
I don't know if my nose was working at the time. I wasn't really sniffing people. We're in close proximity for 2-3 hours.
Normal. Okay. Fair enough. That's
yes, he smelt like $1 million. Because he's worth millions of bucks.
Probably more than that, honestly.
$1 billion. And that's awesome. Probably being generous.
Yeah.
Well, Frank, let's do something a little different than you usually get to do, I would assume. Usually you're talking about your projects and everything else going on. Let's simply talk about Moon Knight and how good it is. So you saw the first two episodes at the premiere. Have they gotten any better, any worse? How much do you like them? Do you love them?
After standing at the premiere, when we got into the theater, I just fell asleep and I didn't watch them.
Exhausted.
They were great. I thought they were we're talking full episode 1 and 2, right? We don't worry about spoilers or okay.
Spoiler warning has been given.
There it is. I think the first one, I loved the cuts of just him waking up in the chaos. Like, what happened? You know, like I loved that. That was such a good tease to everything that was about to happen, and then the introduction of the costume and him just beating the crud out of the werewolf at the end. That was perfect. That was just such a good introduction, building up who, and I think it took everybody else by surprise. I think everybody was expecting Mark Spector to be the main character, but in the first episodes, we've just been with Steven the whole time, and I think that's it's odd, and I like that. And then I think everybody, I remember seeing, I want to say, it wasn't Straw Hat Goofy, it was somebody else on TikTok who had this big theory about episode two. He had seen episode one, and he's like, yeah, I think Mr. Knight is this person, and he's going to be, he had this whole theory, and I'm sitting there just like, I know the truth. I've seen episode two, and you're so wrong. You're so, but I don't want to be that guy. Like, because I thought that was a great way to introduce Mr. Knight, which is like, he put on the suit and put on a suit. It just wasn't the suit.
Did the superhero landing and then immediately just fell over onto his side. It was Anthony, you haven't watched the talk Moon Knight yet. What do you think of the first two episodes?
After seeing the first one, I was, I had no idea what I had just watched. There was so much going on. I mean, obviously this is MCU, but we don't know how in a sense. one thing that I noticed was his accent. I mean, this definitely felt more secluded from anything else between the MCU. MCU's either in space, or it's New York, or San Francisco, and this being, with his accent and being over England. I thought that was really cool. I absolutely love Steven with a V. I feel so bad for him. He makes me so sad because he seems so sad. Like when he goes out for dinner and then realizes, I guess she's not coming. Then he orders the steak and then he's like, yeah, just whatever cut. Yep, the best one. Well, how do you want it cooked? The best way. Good.
Then this week he goes, I eat one piece of steak and I go mad.
I love the characters we've been given. I love the ending shot, like you said, Frank, in episode one. Almost, the smooth transitions of the camera circling him and he's having the conversation with Mark in the mirror, and then you see him again the other side. I mean, just the way they filmed it was incredible. And then, the fact that we got a complete opposite of the typical Disney Plus series where you see the final costume in the last episode for 10 minutes. We got it front and center right off the bat, and I thought it was great.
And we got the villain right off the bat, which isn't a normal Disney Plus thing either. Frank, you seem to be a big fan of the cinematography of those mirror shots.
It was the storage container that in episode two, that was like the icing on. I thought that was beautifully done. Those were two completely different characters. Oscar Isaac nailed that. It wasn't him. Didn't feel like him talking to himself. It was like, no, these are two completely different people. Mark is kind of a jerk, but like clearly he needs to be he's dealing with Khonshu the whole time. They've already painted Khonshu as the crybaby that he kind of is, and they're peppering that in with like he's an omnipotent god and he's all powerful, but then Mark just starts to go on about he kind of isn't, and I can't remember the main villain's name. Oh my god,
Arthur Harrow.
Arthur Bank, yeah, he's obviously dealt with him before, and I know enough about the comics to know Khonshu's history and just what happened with him and the gods. I think that gets a little spoilery, but I'm interested to see how they approach it.
Sarah, let's stick right in that storage unit conversation. Steven, when he opens the bag and he just goes, you got to be kidding me. Like, and he pulls the gun out like right away. Like, it's just, Steven is just is not part of that world, that he was very uncomfortable. But I think you were as blown away as the rest of us were at that scene.
Yeah, little goody two-shoes, Steven. Oscar Isaac, I just, he's so good. Anthony already mentioned the steak scene, so I won't go into that. But even in the second episode, when he's trying to get the guy to watch the security footage, and you see him walk out of the bathroom, and you can tell he's a different person. Mm-hmm. Just based on the look on his face.
Yeah, when he even says, that's not me.
Amazing. Yes.
And then the security guy goes, all right, whatever, bruv.
I love how fascinated Steven is with Mark's looks and just how much how handsome he thinks he is. But to Frank's point, he's two completely different characters. Neither of those is Apocalypse or Poe Dameron. Like, he is very much a different person. And it is... like, you can tell who's on the screen simply by the way they're standing. And that is just incredible. And if you have a storage unit where the lights turn on for 10 seconds just as you walk down the hall, just go the other way. Like, that's not the place that you want to be. but that turned into one of my favorite action scenes in the MCU, because seeing Khonshu in the dark, then not in the dark.
Like, oh, so creepy. Oh, that was so. Like,
I thought it was great.
Can I mention a potential, not a fan theory that I saw, and I'm very interested to see if this pans out.
Absolutely.
There's a theory going around that he is in some type of mental ward.
Yeah.
And that everything that we've been seeing is either a false memory of Stevens or Mark's. Everything happened to Mark. Mark went on the dates. Mark did all of this, but Stevens like putting himself in his mind in those scenarios, but he's in a mental ward the whole time.
Very Shutter Island-esque.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Spoiler alert for Shutter Island.
it's been like 10 years.
I know. Let's go down that. Let's go down that route though. Like, let's say none of this is real, and Oscar Isaac is telling the truth that he's a one and done on this project, and we're not going to see Moon Knight again. I mean, is that kind of what you're saying, Frank? Like, that's just kind of the story they're telling, and that's just he's been affected by all this trauma from Thanos or whatever story they go. Would you be a bit bummed? I would assume you want to see Moon Knight again.
I'm not sure. I forget who said it, that they were talking about moving away from the Avengers. Like, we did that. We beat that horse. Like, we had all these epic Avengers movies, but now, we want to move into, you know, the standalones, the team ups, the versus. So I don't know, getting rid of Moon Knight that quickly. Yeah. Seems like a little bit of a waste. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't
know. Yeah. And you could easily have it be in a mental ward and still not get rid of the character. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that would be very interesting. But man, that Alex says that those storage lights must have also been in at the Morbius hospital. Your words for that one on that one, Alex. But we finally meet Layla. Like, not finally. Like, it's not like we were building up to it for that long. But I didn't expect Layla and Mark to already be married, for one. I thought that was pretty interesting. But Sarah, I mean, Layla, played by Mae Calame, is the actress. She's awesome. Her talent jumps off the screen.
Yeah, she's excellent. She's very natural. I don't know much about the actress, so I
her IMDb is not lengthy. This is her biggest thing by quite a bit.
I couldn't place her accent, so I'm not sure. I don't know if she's going to be part of the next phase of storytelling in Egypt or what, but I'm all in. I love this show, and I think Frank is on to the fan theory is on to something, because that is part of the Lemire run.
She is an Egyptian Palestinian actress.
Oh,
well, so she is full blown Egyptian Palestinian.
There you go. Okay, that makes way more sense. But I the thing that threw me about the which run they were basing this on is their, you know, Mr. Knight was Declan Shalvey was the one that created Mr. Knight, so that was a different run than the Lemire run. But I do think that there is some credence to the fact that it might all be in his head.
So Anthony, do you have anything else on Layla before we move on?
The best part was when they're on the scooter together and he's like, I don't know where to put my hands.
Did you see my shoulder?
After she dropped that they're married, she's like, I don't know where to put my hands. Skills.
Well, and Steven went from having nobody to now being full-blown married in like an instant, and he's kind of like, I don't know, I kind of like this. Like, what madman would want to divorce you? Like, I'm not going to sign these papers.
Yeah, and I like the conversation they had in his apartment, too, when they were talking about poetry. And, you know, he says, you know, Steven says, oh, this is my favorite poet. And she goes, no, it's not. It's mine. And then, like, you know, there's this weird moment where, you know, I think she thinks, like, okay, I still don't know what you're doing, Mark. Like, I'm still not buying this whole accent and this whole, you know, the code that you were telling me over the phone and all this and that. But I think Mark's like, or Steven's like, I don't know who this girl is, but she says we're married and we're pretty cool. And I don't think I want to get divorced.
Yeah.
So, I mean, then we get those two people portraying police officers come in, arrest him. Where'd you get this paperweight? At the paperweight store. I thought that was great. But Arthur follows it up. He finally has this. He's spying on Steven a little bit and is finally convinced of his multiple personalities. And the line that really stuck out is, do you think Khonshu chose you as his avatar because your mind would be so easy to break or because it's already broken? And I think, Frank, to your point, that could really lead to this is an entire thing being concocted within Steven's head.
Yeah. It's so sad. We'll see.
It was pretty deep. But, Frank, I'm going to go to you on this. And we finally meet Arthur's quote-unquote perfect society. And it's built upon not so nice principles. But what did you make of this community that Arthur had built?
Culty. it seems I don't know. One of those situations where it works on like a smaller scale, and maybe it's working as how he has it there, but definitely more going on behind the scenes than I think we've been shown yet.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of power in that cane, if nothing else. Sarah, Frank, you guys are more familiar with the comics than Anthony or I. Is it often a villain of Moon Knight's that used to be a former Khonshu avatar, or is this kind of a new way that they're going about it?
Frank, do you want to take it? I know Black Spectre was
he was a former.
Yeah.
Or no, he was after Mark, I thought, but that he kind of started to also turn against Khonshu. Like,
yeah. I'm not sure if it's a common thing, but it has happened before.
But that one threw me for an absolute loop.
But in the comics, Mark is like resurrected and killed. He's been his avatar for a long time. He keeps moving around. So I'm curious to see how they'll address this. And whose body is it? Who was originally before the identity disorder? Was he Mark Spector, or was he Stephen Grant? And then Mark Spector was implanted in him as another resurrection from Khonshu because his mind was broken, or were they the same person and he just always had this disorder?
We theorized on this last week, and kind of where I'm at is I feel like Mark Spector is the guy, because I think one, that would make it much easier to obtain a passport. Not that Steven couldn't have a British passport at some point either, but that, and I really think that Steven is a personality where Mark says there's always been a line between us we've been able to draw, and now that line's gone. I feel like Steven's a developed personality to help Mark deal with the person that Mark has been. We start to like hear what Mark has done, saying it's not what it is, but he's zip tied people, shot him in the back of the head. Like, Mark has done some pretty dirty things, and he's not really cool with it, it doesn't feel like. But that's just kind of my thought. Anthony, do you draw the line at child murder? I would assume.
Yeah.
All right.
Unless a child messes with my child, and then I will break kneecaps.
Oh no!
I will say this is the scene where how tense that scene was when Arthur's genuinely trying to be kind of like reaching out guy, but he's super intimidating. Shout out to Ethan Hawke for the portrayal of the character of Arthur Harrow. But this is very like, if you want to get biblical into it, like war in heaven, like no agency, no nothing, like you are going to live how you're going to live, and that Ahmed is going to make that decision. And then Steven says the same thing we've all been thinking, that he's thought about killing his boss many, many times, but he would never follow through with it.
Exactly.
Just super, super interesting stuff. But then Layla comes in, kind of ruins the whole thing that at least Mark had planned, didn't want to give Layla up. We end up in the middle of it. We see how the Jackal shows up, and then the Jackal is completely invisible, like we kind of saw from the theater earlier, or from the video earlier. But Frank, I'm going to go to you on this. We meet Mr. Knight, who you've been waiting to meet. Just so your cosplay makes sense, if nothing else.
No, it was fun. It was a fun scene. He had powers. Clearly he was beating up the invisible werewolf demon thing that no one could see. So That was a lot of fun, him trying to figure it out, but then quickly realizing he is overwhelmed and he can't handle it. So the exchange between him and Mark, I thought, was brilliant. And then that transformation scene where he finally gives up that control, like,
yeah,
oof, that, oh my God, that was so beautiful. I forget who said something about it when they were trying to develop Moon Knight's suit. They didn't want it to look like an Iron Man suit. That was their biggest thing. They were like, we don't want it to be this nanotech materialized white costume. They're like, we need to make this magical and spectral. So that's why everything kind of comes out of his back and wraps around him like a mummy, because they wanted it to, they didn't just want it to be another armor suit up. I think it worked.
Yeah.
And then you have your cosplay, which is all bloody, Mr. Knight. It really puts the psycho into the psycho Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, wow, it was
so hard. Looking in the mirror, he goes, I said put on the suit, not psycho Colonel Sanders. I love how, you know, part of the thing that I love about Steven is he almost uses his humor to deflect in, you know, uncomfortable situations. Which Avatar. I mean,
yeah, Anthony knows the thing too about that.
Yeah, which I do all the time and as often as I can to just deflect things with humor. So I thought that was really makes them even more personable. Question about Brian, you brought up the cane of Arthur Harrow, and it was glowing purple. Does anyone think that that means anything? It's the same color as Agatha Harkness's magic.
That's the second week in a row with an Agatha reference.
It's been her all
along. I don't think so. I don't think they're related. I think that they've proven that there's enough places and dimensions to draw power from. And if the Egyptian...
Sorry, Frank.
I was like so confused. Like, is that my phone? Because I have the Agatha, you know, ringtone. No, not at all. There's enough dimensions between, you know, where Wanda pulls her powers and Agatha, and then you have all of Doctor Strange's magic, and then you have, you know, Eternal's magic and Celestial powers, and you have Infinity Stones. Like, I think if that now there's a group of Egyptian gods, because now we have the Asgardians pulling their magic from wherever. I think it's its own new type of magic to break away from the Infinity Stones, that whole thing.
At this point, they're just picking a color.
Yeah. It's that ominous, creepy, but that would be cool if they turns out like, yeah, it's wherever Agatha pulls her powers from, it's the same place.
That's where I reside as well. But Sarah, I know you kind of agreed with Mark last week of you didn't necessarily want to bring it up, but when Arthur kind of killed that woman with her hands in his hands, and then she just kind of went dark. It's kind of what Agatha did to her mom. Now we got the purple magic. Mark is still he's talked to me after the episode that he's still team potentially coming from the same place. I'm more with Frank. I just think there's only so many colors in the rainbow.
If it is connected, we are at the very beginning stages. Like, I'm not sure how it's going to... I don't know if it's like a Nexus being... Well, there's only one Nexus being, though. I don't know.
Honestly, Marvel's to the point where they've reprogrammed our DNA to look for those Easter eggs and connections to try and tie everything together. So it might just be an ultimate troll job.
What do you mean? WandaVision, nobody ever did that with WandaVision. I have no idea what you mean. Nobody was looking for any sort of connective tissue whatsoever.
Not even a little bit.
Frank referenced it. He finally, once he stands up, looks at himself. I think the visuals, a few people, it's the popular thing to do with what they do on Disney Plus is to complain about the CGI. I honestly don't care. I think the Jackal looks fine enough. My imagination can take over. But when I'm watching Oscar Isaac flop through the street fighting nothing, I thought that was absolutely brilliant when he's throwing himself up against the bus. And then he looks at himself, finally gets Mark the control that he's been asking for. And we get some of the most comic accurate stuff we've ever gotten of that running from across the rooftops away from that Jackal. And that slow motion, the way they work the slow motion in and everything. Sarah, I'm going to go to you on this first. That was cinematic, and I won't hear it from anybody that's going to complain about the CGI.
Yeah. That's my iPad background now. That one panel of him jumping from rooftop to rooftop is right. I think it's issue 8 of
it's the greatest movie. Disney Plus. It's the greatest way to create a Disney Plus logo ever.
So good, so perfect. But I also love the line where he's like, Mark is pumping up Steven and saying, "Hey man, that was a hell of a punch back there."
he's kind of mad at it, but we didn't talk about it, but we need to. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Yeah. My name is Steven with a V was just amazing. Frank, what did you make of Moon Knight running away and getting the jackal out of the group of people?
I thought that whole scene was good. I do want to touch on the CGI thing a little bit, and I think a lot of people that whole sequence hit one part of jank for me, but then I kind of like had to correct myself. It's when he pulls the daggers out of his chest.
And the daggers stay there.
Yeah, just like pull, and just the way they flipped, I'm like, yeah, it was a little janky, but then like it tells the story. Is any of the CGI unnecessary? No, it's getting you from A to B to C to D. It tells the story. The story couldn't be really told without it. So if it doesn't always look endgame level, if it doesn't always look, you know, this galactic level, that's fine. Like, there's still a budget. You're still telling the story. And if you could suspend your disbelief that this dude in a mystical god costume is fighting an invisible werewolf in the middle of London after a purple alien just snapped away half of life, and that, you know, like, deal with it. You know, you're still getting the story across, you know, and I think it's fine.
I did notice that more so on my second watch. I was like, yeah, that looked kind of iffy, but I think with the jackal being invisible, it's almost a way for them to save money on the CGI of everything.
It was smart. Well, it was very smart.
First smashing that bottle and kind of seeing its silhouette was really cool too.
Yeah, and then now, I mean, if they've got something even bigger in 3 and 4 and 5, and they're like, you know what, let's cut some costs in episode 2. We don't need the full CGI jackal. I think that was a good idea. And I mean, now they can do it, and we know exactly what's going on too. But well, having more invisible Mark fly around would be great.
And I think it's way cooler to see him run up the guy's windshield and then the windshield just to crack by an invisible jackal. Than anything. I thought that was really, really neat. But when he does that slow motion and jumps over the corner of that building, like straight off of the comic book page, it was really cool stuff. And then we see him suiting up in the trailer. It's actually him suiting down in this particular episode. I thought that was they're lying to us in their trailers constantly. But now we've seen almost everything except, to Frank's point, of Steven in the white kind of smacking himself in the face. That's like all we have not seen at all. So what's going to happen? They promise a mind bending thing in episode 4. Who knows? But man, I can't wait to see it. But now we're in Egypt. It looks like Mark has remained in control of the body. Khonshu wants Layla to be the next one, which is what's keeping Mark in this entire body in the first place. Frank, do you think we ever go back to London, or do you think we're in Egypt for the rest of the series?
That's insinuating that we ever left London, isn't it?
It is.
Who knows?
Poor Steven, like, still sitting on the edge of the bed, just wanting control of the body, and he just can't do it.
I think we're going to go back. I think it's where he's from, and I think he may be, like, you know, the ending of episode 6 or something like that. I think we're going to go back, but I know there's a lot of locations we still need to visit, so we'll see.
Yeah, there's still plenty of places to go, Sarah. We know it's Egypt is obviously a big part of this. We're going to get to Ahmet's tomb at some point. Arthur's a creepy dude. What are you expecting from episode 3 and for the rest of the series?
Episode 3, I don't know specifically for episode 3, but I do expect to see new Egypt. I think maybe when we go back to London, or maybe we meet Jake Lockley and we go to New York, or just back to Mark's home.
Is Jake the cab driver?
Yes.
Okay.
I think, I don't know if we'll go back to London. I think, because we still need to see that. I think it might be the other void where Khonshu is like explaining things to Mark. It's from the trailer. It's this beautiful scene. So we still need to see that. I think we're going to visit a lot of places in this series.
Khonshu, that scene when he's talking to Mark and when he keeps jumping from spot to spot and then he ends up right in front of Mark, like, he's super intimidating. Like, that scene was really, really cool. And the fact that Mark can get away from Khonshu at least a little bit to say he wants Layla, like, I can't let that happen, and then Khonshu shows up, I thought was actually really interesting. I just always assumed, to Frank's point earlier, he's not exactly omnipotent. He's not always everywhere at the same time, because Mark kind of knows when he's there and when he's not.
I love when Khonshu told him to break his windpipe. Break his windpipe.
And it's then it's still not as good as this.
Did he just throw the gun?
Did he just throw the gun? Oh, God.
Even when they're sitting there and then Arthur's like, he's telling you to kill me, isn't he? And then he's like, kill him.
Did he just say, I am justice? Like,
No, not anymore.
I thought it was great. Well, anybody have any last minute things on Moon Knight before we let get out of here and let Frank get back to his life? Frank, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure.
No, thank you for having me. This was fun. This was a lot of fun.
I'm sure it's not as many viewers as you're used to on your YouTube page.
I'll take one viewer, man. I've never gotten into this for the viewer, like the views. I got into it for the viewers. And
I told Brian before, I was like, you know, because like I said, we've got you tonight, and then Brian and his son Jax are going to be interviewing Logan and his dad later on this week. I go, the two guys that we've gotten, I go, they seem like they're just super cool dudes. You know, like the videos that you've posted on YouTube about 3D printing, and you just seem so personable and willing to help anybody. And I mean, hell, I just reached out to you randomly. I've got 23 followers on Instagram, and I just said, hey man, you want to be on a podcast? And you said, yeah. And I was like, I was blown away. And I mean, it's so cool that you took the time to do this with us.
Yeah.
I've learned, just because you don't know the connections you're going to make, like I respond to everybody I possibly can. I don't have thousands of empty message requests. Every day I go through them. Hey, who's messaging me? Who needs help? Who's at? Just chat, you know, like it's helped me form some pretty cool relationships and meet a lot of cool people. And I can't say no to that, you know? And when any podcast reaches out, I did a little podcast interview for a high school, and, you know, like you just asking me about my career choices and joining the military and doing this. And I don't know, maybe like five people are ever like, who am I to say no to that? You know, like I'm special. Like, no, I'm me. Like, like you want to talk, let's talk. If somebody's interested enough in me to reach out like that, that's awesome. Like, so why not?
Well, you are a special dude with some special talents, and congratulations on your time in the Air Force. You said October is it. So thank you so much.
October is it.
And congratulations.
Very nice.
Oh yeah. 10 years.
Oh, that's good. Thank you for your service.
Sarah, anything that you need to plug before we get out of here?
I wanted to ask Frank one more question.
True.
Your N64 shirt, what is your go-to game?
Besides GoldenEye.
It was a mixture of Super Smash Brothers, that's what started it, my God. and believe it or not, Mega Man 64.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, Mega Man 64. I loved that game, and I never beat it. Never beat it. Yeah, it was a great little console. And
Anthony, I'd assume you're with me when it comes to Ken Griffey Jr. baseball 98. Yeah. I that game on the end, and Wayne Gretzky 3-on-3 hockey, which was like NFL blitz in hockey. That was a good game too.
Yes, it was.
Sarah, we got Nerdy Girls After Dark on Thursday night at 8:30, episode 2. We are off and running with Nerdy Girls After Dark here at the Nerd Life Network. Follow us on Instagram at Nerd Life Network, at the Nerd Emporium. Sarah, anything I forgot?
At Nerdy Girls After Dark. No, that's it. You got it. Thank you.
And Anthony, we've got a big one on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this coming Wednesday.
Yes, we do. We have our first guest, which is going to be our first live stream. We've got a former Major League Baseball player and current MLB Network analyst Xavier Scruggs is going to be joining us for, I believe, about a half an hour. So this should be a good time. We're going to be talking about, I know when he was with the Cardinals, he was a diversity, inclusion, and equity consultant. So we're going to be talking with our friend Kara about that and then just asking them some general baseball questions. So
putting the real nerd in nerd life, talking about nerdy baseball stuff. Follow at @frankly_built pretty much anywhere you can find anything that you can put an at sign in front of it. Frank, anything else that you need to plug?
Go support Logan Dominic cosplay.
Very nice.
Him. Logan Dominic cosplay. Let's get him to MegaCon, and you can hear more from Logan next week on Earth's Mightiest Weirdos talking to Jax. Until next time, everybody. Laters, Gators.
Earth's Mightiest Weirdos is brought to you by Pinch of Pixie Dust Travel. People who love travel understand that life isn't about the breaths you take, it's about the moments that take your breath away. That's why we help coordinate the most magical adventures for you and your family. Disney, Universal, Sandals, Norwegian, Carnival, and more, we are a full-service concierge travel agency that will help with every aspect of your journey. Let us take care of the details while you enjoy your family. Get a quote today by calling us at 570-832-7798 or fill out a trip request form at pinchofpixiedusttravel.com. Just follow the second star to the right straight on to your adventure. That's pinchofpixiedusttravel.com, where you're making memories one trip at a time.